Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Seems like the theme of today's show is arguing for your school, your university, be included in the 12-team college football playoffs. Dave Riggert, the voice of the JMU Dukes, will join us, and he'll argue for the team at the top of the Sun Belt at 1:30. David Cunningham covers Virginia Tech. I'm sure he'll argue for the ACC when he joins us at 2:30. But every day on AWOD Radio at 1 p.m., we open up the phone lines, talk about my favorite football team in town during the bye week. It's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for
the phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
I don't want to ask you guys the question, should Jaden play or not? Because I think we know the answer is yes, but we're not the ones making that decision. And I think that's what comes down to what will happen is, are the front office scared? Are they scared? Because I believe that Brian Daboll got fired in New York, yes, because the record was bad, but more because there was urgency from ownership to protect their young quarterback. Brian Daboll wasn't protecting Jackson Dart, and he got fired. Dan Quinn wasn't protecting Jaden Daniels, he got injured. And if he comes back now and gets injured again, the narrative's going to be that Dan Quinn doesn't protect his quarterback. Is it worth it for Dan Quinn to risk that? Or for Adam Peters, and to have the whole conversation be, are they bungling a franchise quarterback just like they did 13 years ago with RG3? And so we'll find out after the bye week what their decision is. But in terms of his development and his career and his future, he definitely needs snaps. He needs the reps, and he needs to start and play a game and finish it healthy. But I told you guys earlier this week how pissed off I was with the loss to the Dolphins. And it's still eating me up because, as Ethan Cadeau said, if you're 4-7, you're still grasping at a chance. You're still hoping that when the In the Hunt graphic comes out, your team's going to be included. At 3-8, that's all she wrote. Oh, I know technically they could finish with 9-8, and mathematically maybe they're not eliminated. 3-8, it's done. And then you can't even grasp. And so, like, as a fan base, it hurts. In that locker room, it's probably killer. And for a guy like Jaden Daniels, it's got to destroy him and be eating him up inside as he's seen this team crumble this season. But the loss to the Dolphins pissed me off because they played good enough to win, and they got into field goal range to hit the game-winning field goal, and they missed it, and I knew they were going to miss it, and you guys probably knew they were going to miss it because Matt Gay has been awful this season, and he's been inaccurate, and it's the second game at least that he's lost because of his multiple misses against the Packers burned us week two. And so I told you guys, for the first time, I am putting a blemish on Adam Peters' resume. I am putting an X on kicker. He screwed this up. In Washington, I thought he had been perfect, but the kicking issue is 100% squarely his fault. You can't blame Dan Quinn for putting his kicker out there for a 56-yarder for the win, when every other coach in this damn league is putting kickers out there for 56 yards, even up to 60-plus for the win. Dan is no different. There were a lot of people that were blaming Dan Quinn for putting his kicker out there. No! Your anger is not directed at the correct person. Every other coach would put their kicker out there for the win, especially when they're making that much money. Matt Gay's making $4 million. The disconnect is the general manager who overpaid Matt Gay, and he can't even make it from 50-plus, let alone 60. So this is an Adam Peters issue that cost us now multiple games this season. And it's been a tough season for the fans, but that loss put me over the top. And now I'm going through every single Adam Peters draft pick and trying to figure out who are the actual building blocks of this organization. I still believe in Adam Peters as the general manager. I like his aggressive trades he's made, but I'm no longer keeping him on a pedestal. I think we have to look at the moves he's made, starting with the draft. Jaden Daniels was his first ever draft pick. That's still an A+. I don't care that he's barely played this season. It's an A+. Johnny Newton, round two, pick 36. Dude, pick 36 overall is basically a first-round pick. I would say a top 40 selection is a first-round pick. I'm giving Johnny Newton a C-plus grade for Adam Peters. Round two, pick 50, Mikey Sainer still. Last year, we all said A+. This year, I've dropped him down to a B. I still like him. I don't know that this defensive coaching staff knows where he's best fit in their schemes. They've been moving around too much. Inside, inside, outside, inside. It's too much. And I'm tired of seeing him getting burnt man-to-man because I thought he was supposed to have the speed to make up for that. Round two, pick 53. Ben Sennett. This is one of the worst. This is probably a D+ here. This might even be an F because a second-round pick in the same draft class as Brock Bowers needs to be doing more to get on the field. He's losing snaps to Colson Yankoff, and he's just nowhere to be found. That's a D+ of a draft. Brandon Coleman, round three, pick number 67. That was an A. When he started for most of last season at left tackle, he was a serviceable left tackle. Now he's being inactive in games, barely getting snaps when he is active. Last week, you know what he was used as? A sixth offensive lineman. What? What? That's now a C- draft in my mind. Luke McCaffrey, round three, pick 100. That's a B. It's hard to go hard on Luke. He didn't really develop year one, but he was certainly developing this year and was going to be a Pro Bowler kick returner. He was drafted to be much more than a kick returner. A wide receiver is a weakness, and it sucks because I really think he was developing. I'm going to give him a B. Jordan McGee, round five, pick 139. C+. It's nice to see him getting out there and making plays. I don't know that he's our linebacker of the future at all. I really don't think so. But he's looked faster than Bobby Wagner, and it does look like he's actually learning from Bobby Wagner. I think he is improving. Round five, number 161, Dominique Hampton at safety, D-. He hasn't been playing. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, round 7, C+. I think you can give out a fair grade for the guys that were drafted in Jaden's class because it's now been 12 wins year one, all the way to the conference championship, and now we've seen 11 weeks of football of year two. I think those are fair grades. This year's class, Josh Connerly, a B. Trey Amos, a B. Jalen Lane, probably a C. I was really hoping for more. And I think the turnovers dropped that because when he had the 90-yard punt return for a touchdown, we were at a B+ or an A-. But the fumbles in the last few weeks, you got to drop him down to a C. Kane Medrano, a D. Bill at the seventh round pick is a nice spark play. I'll give him a C+, but you know, I don't think that should. I don't think the draft pick of Bill should hold us back from drafting a running back again this year. So I don't think he's a starter moving forward. And so, like, I'm not putting Adam Peters on a hot seat or questioning the decision by Josh Harris to hire him or questioning his decisions to hire Dan Quinn. I'm just saying you got to go through every draft pick that he's made. And, of course, I think he's had a lot more hits in free agency, and he's done very well, very, very well with his trades in my mind, like Debo and Laremy Tunsil. But we are getting ready for another draft class that needs to be the one that takes this team forward. And so my question today was, of the 10-plus draft picks that Adam Peters has made since he got into D.C., how many of them are building blocks? And I think that would be the guys that have been a B or higher. And I'm counting maybe 5 building blocks. We need that number to be at 11 by the start of next season. That's 6 hits on 5 draft picks? Math ain't mathin'. Math ain't mathin' there. Adam Peters needs to have his best draft class this year. No doubt about that. Because outside of Jaden Daniels, we would all be questioning his success as the draft expert here in Washington. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Here on the Commander's Corner, I wanted to discuss what I'd like to see from Washington following the bye week and the conclusion of this season. So this is the bye week, no game this weekend. And then it's Sunday night football against the Broncos at home. A game will not be flexed out. Washington then will travel to Minnesota, New York, come back to host Philadelphia, host Dallas, and then go to Philadelphia to close out their season. What would you like to see? Well, the big question's been, do you want to see Jaden Daniels return or not? I say yes, I want to see Jaden back. I want to see him start, play, look good, finish a game healthy. Give me confidence, give the fan base confidence, give free agents watching around the league confidence that he's not injury prone, that Washington's still going to be a team to beat next year and a team on the rise. Right now, we have no momentum heading into the offseason. Nothing. I'd like to develop some momentum. So I think Jaden should play. I've been saying that. I understand there's a risk. There's always going to be a risk. What I don't like is there are people that have been saying Dan Quinn was at fault for playing Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter against Seattle, and those same people are saying, well, Jaden Daniels needs to come back. No. Jaden Daniels played in that fourth quarter because of how bad he had looked earlier that game. They were trying to develop some momentum so that maybe the offense wouldn't look anemic when they played the Lions the next week, right? We all forget because Sam Darnold was torching us. And the defense gave up touchdown, 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 field goal on the first five drives of the game, that the offense was also having their struggles. That's why Jaden was out there. Jaden wanted to be out there. And he got hurt on a freak play. And so I don't fault Dan Quinn for that. But I do think that is going to be in Dan Quinn's mind when he's making the decision about bringing Jaden Daniels back or not. Herm Edwards went on Grant and Danny, and they asked him about Jaden Daniels playing or not playing when he comes back from this injury. Let's take a listen.
If he is healthy, would you bring him back if he could get 3 weeks of practice and games in, 4 weeks of practice and games?
Absolutely. Hey, last time I checked, you're a football player. That's what you do. You play football. Football players play football, guys.
I'm going to write that down, Coach. One second.
Players play football. That's what they do. Okay? And you have this window of when you get to play. And there ain't like, on an offseason, he can play. No, he can't play. The season's now. He got to play now. Are you kidding me? That's what they do. Football players play football. They don't do anything else. That's their job. He's not going to say, hey, man, you know, he don't care. He wants to play. He wants to compete.
That was Herm Edwards. One of the really talented NFL coaches who took a step down to the college ranks and actually was Jaden Daniels' coach at ASU, where he started his career before going to LSU. And, of course, he had that incredible freshman year at ASU, coached by Herm Edwards. Football players play football. He's also the coach that said you play to win the game, right? I mean, he's got a lot of famous quotes, but I think he said it right there is perfect. Like, he's healthy. You play the game. You're a football player, right? And it's like the people that are saying you can't play him because you risk an injury, we just have PTSD from RG3. That's what that is. And I have it too, believe me. Every time Jaden runs, my heart sinks. Because we've got to get out of this bubble that we're in here that is our quarterback is everything. And when that bubble gets popped, we're one of the worst teams in football. And that's why I've been coming at Adam Peters a little more recently. Because year one, Jaden Daniels made the team our team. Year two here, you should have had 14 players that you've selected be part of the building blocks. And yet, when Jaden goes down, the offense took a massive step back, and the defense just has not developed at all. So we go back to what we started this conversation with. What do you want to see following the bye week? You just heard from Herm Edwards. I want to see Jaden Daniels. I want to see an offensive line do a much, much, much better job protecting him. I want to see an offense that's called by Cliff Kingsbury that, like the last few weeks here, does not give up on the rushing attack because it's not working a few times. They stay creative with their rushing attack, and I don't want to see you running the quarterback. I think if he wants to run, he'll run on scrambling plays, but we have to be able to give the ball to either Bill or Chris Rodriguez and get 3 yards. That's the minimum. Have to be able to get 3 yards. And this season, we've had a ton of 2nd-and-9, 10, and 2nd-and-11s because we ran the ball on first down. And that's what's changed Cliff Kingsbury's play-calling style. It has. If you watch the games, he's not calling the same style of plays that he was last year, because last year, they could run it more effectively, and you get 2nd-and-6, 3rd-and-2, and he could call up a first down on 3rd-and-2 9 out of 10 times. But when it's 3rd-and-6, 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, or even 3rd-and-double-digit, it makes it very, very difficult. I still think Cliff is calling some great plays. Like the play to Jacoby Jones on a 3rd-down key in the 4th quarter, in which he had the stack to the right and he fakes inside, he goes back outside. That was tremendous play call. If I was defending Jacoby Jones, I would have been burned. every team runs that play. Most of the time, that third receiver goes and stands in the middle of the field. But he faked inside and he went outside. It was a terrific play call. There was some really good stuff with the designed runs and the way they got Debo involved. I think Cliff is calling good games, and I think he needs to have more of a commitment to run. How does he do that? By having more successful runs. Defensively, you have to admit that they played for Dan Quinn. Maybe not from the 20 to the 20, but when they got to the red zone, Javon Kinlaw pointed at Dan Quinn and was like, "This bleep ends here. I'm getting a stop." And they did. And they were only in that game because of the red zone stops. And that's also why it's so disappointing they lost that game, because they got the key red zone stops. But they also struggled offensively in the red zone. So what I want to see in the second half of the season here, after the bye week here, to close out the season on a stretch run, I want to see the commitment defensively to playing your gap, right? And not being overexposed. And I think that's what's been the big issues this year, is the miscommunication and the guys trying to do too much. No, just do your job. And if your job is setting the edge, you've got to set the edge so that you force the running back to go inside. Too many times, I mean, even Bobby Wagner has shot the wrong gap. Play your role. Your role is to not let the running back cut back inside. And that happened too many times. And so I want to see better discipline defensively. And I think that's what we lacked for a lot of this season. And I don't really blame Joe Witt, but I blame the fact that the offense was struggling. We were not playing complimentary football. And they were gambling a little bit on defense earlier this season and getting burnt over the top, getting burnt on the run. And I think they lost a little bit of faith in the play calling from Joe Witt. And you never want to hear, but your assistant coach and the defense and the head coach were both saying, the answer is we have to dumb it down a little bit. That's what the answer was. That's never the right answer, to dumb it down defensively. But they were not playing disciplined football, and that's why they came up with that idea. Hey, let's dumb it down, make sure that we can just do what we're being asked to do. But we definitely had more fight with Dan Quinn calling the plays. We had more exotic blitzing, and I want to see that, because I think we solved the answer. I think Dan Quinn has to be the defensive coordinator throughout the rest of his time now here in Washington as the head coach, because that's his secret sauce. That's why he was hired to be the head coach, to make the defense relevant again. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, Now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most local football talk in town. We got the 804 high school football walkthrough tonight. Gary Hess, Gary Criswell, Hokie Steve. And every Friday night, you can hear the 804 broadcast game of the week. We talk all things college football every day on AWOD Radio. And joining us right now to talk about the Dukes is the radio voice of the James Madison Dukes on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. It's Dave Riggert. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Adam. It's a good day to be a Duke. It's always a good day to be a Duke, but things are rolling right now. So everything's going great. Hopefully you are well.
Absolutely. And we've been arguing on the show all week long about the college football playoffs, the top 25 that was revealed, and the 12-team bracket. And the discussion has been, why is there so much bias for the American Conference of all conferences?
It's a great question, and I think I'm in the same boat as probably most of you are, but there does seem to be a bias that no matter what happens the rest of the way, that the committee certainly wants the American champion to be that group of five, group of six team to get that final spot in the college football playoff. It's kind of mind-blowing. And some of the things that they said, obviously there was a conference call afterwards, and some of the things have been leaked on questions that were asked and how they responded. And they kept bringing up the strength of schedule. And, yeah, it is what it is. We thought this was going to be a pretty daunting schedule going into this season. It hasn't turned out to be that way when the likes of Liberty aren't nearly as good as what you thought. Texas State, Louisiana were picked to go 1-2 in the West. They're not as good as what we originally thought. So they're playing the schedule that they were given. They're blowing these teams out. They keep talking about Tulane playing these three Power Four teams and beating two of them. But and my take was just like, well, Washington State, they've always been a Power Four, Power Five team. So is that going to count for the Dukes this week if they go beat them? Would that count as a Power Four win? I don't think in the committee's eyes it would, but it should, because they've always been in the Pac-12. That was a power conference, so they still should be considered that, right? I don't know that they do. And then what if JMU plays Purdue, who's terrible this year, Oklahoma State, and they beat them? So that should weigh more than beating an Old Dominion who beat Virginia Tech by a zillion points, and then James Madison hammered them by their worst margin of defeat this year. A lot of it doesn't make sense on what they're saying. One of the things they talked about, we have a lot of respect for JMU. Their defense is really good. Well, are you watching the games? Because over the last five games, they've had one of the best offenses in the entire country, averaging 46 points and 530 yards per game. Yeah, it took a little while to get going, but the last five games, they've been almost the best offense in America. So they don't even give mention to that. So I don't even know if these guys are watching JMU and using the eye test to see how good they really are.
Preach, Dave, preach. We love it. We are pissed off as well. A lot of our anger is for Virginia and the way they're at. And also, I have a bias towards the ACC. I can't believe Miami, with the same record as Notre Dame, is not ahead of them with a head-to-head win. I think the follow-up question to you would be, if JMU beats Washington State at Coastal and wins the Sun Belt, is that enough for their argument to be that they deserve to be the G5 representative?
In my mind, it is, but I don't think it is in the committee's mind. I really don't. I don't think that they'll put them in. I think they think that the American is that much better of a conference that champion will get that group of five spots. So I don't think it's going to be enough. Now, I was talking with some folks, and you know, what if they go out? What if they hammer Washington State this weekend? What if they hammer Coastal Carolina on the road, who right now is the second best team in the East?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good win on the road. Washington State, they have a 2-point loss at Virginia, 3-point loss at Ole Miss. This would be a really good win against Washington State because they are very good. If they play Southern Miss in the championship game or whoever they play in the Sun Belt championship game, that would be a good win. If they go hammer these teams and they're not close, like the margin of victory, I think, has been 24 points over the last four or five games. If they go do that with these three opponents, could that put them in the conversation? I think it could if the American does struggle. I don't think Tulane and North Texas are going to lose again. They play Temple, Rice,
right,
and they don't play teams that probably will challenge them. But what if they only win by 7 points? What if they win by 10 points and JMU's just hammering these teams? I mean, I feel like they could still get in the conversation. If it's probably going to have to come down to style points and how bad they beat them. And that's I hate to say that, but I think it does come down to that. And maybe it's an ugly American championship that is a 10-7 game. Neither team plays well. They just turn the ball over, and JMU clobbers whoever they play in the Sun Belt Championship game. I think that's the only way they have a chance right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the argument we've been making here. It's going back and forth. Like, does JMU have the games on their schedule to build their resume up to be ahead of North Texas or Navy or Tulane? And it's hard to say the answer is yes. I mean, just based off of what the committee has put out there, I think they're going to end up picking an American team. And what I'm going to hate is, at the end of the day, if it's a team with two losses and JMU only has one.
Yeah, that's the one thing that'll be really frustrating. I think North Texas has more of a case than Tulane does right now, and they should be screaming just like JMU is. So I think those are the two teams that really have the biggest gripe with Tulane getting in there, especially when they have a loss. I know they won two Power Four games, and the committee looks at that. They lost to UTSA by 22 points, who also lost to Texas State, who JMU beat by 30-plus points. So shouldn't that play a factor when you're looking at some comparative scores and everything like that? I think that's a terrible loss for Tulane, and that team also lost to a team in the Sun Belt that hasn't been very good in the Sun Belt. So you're saying that the Sun Belt isn't as good as the American, but one of the lower-tiered Sun Belt teams beat one of the mid-tier American teams pretty bad. So, again, a lot of it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and to be honest, a lot of these mid-major conferences are so similar that you should just take a team with a better overall record. So JMU hopefully could take care of business, and everything will work itself out. So what is your preview for JMU-Washington State?
I think this is going to be a really tough physical game. Washington State, again, they don't have the sexy record. They're not 8-3 or 8-2 or whatever it is. They're 5-5, and they've had some games where they have not been very good this year. They lost to a terrible Oregon State team 10-7 in a bad game. They played an Idaho team that's okay at the FCS level and won 13-10. But then they went to UVA, and a crazy safety late in the game. That game's tied. They've got the ball. They lose by 2 at UVA. They go to Ole Miss, who's 6th in the college football playoff rankings right now. They lost by 3 and were leading most of that game.
Yeah.
So this is a very capable team, and they're, even though they're on the other coast and these two teams have never played each other, there is a lot of familiarity because their coach, Jimmy Rogers, was at South Dakota State, and obviously South Dakota State has been at one of the FCS powers for a long time, won the national championship a couple of years ago. JMU's had some good battles with SDSU over the years, but Coach Chesney, when he was at Holy Cross, they played them twice in the playoffs, so it's a very similar opponent to what they saw then. A lot of South Dakota State players are playing at Washington State right now, and they're kind of built Midwest. We think of Washington State as Ryan Leaf, Cam Ward, all the quarterbacks they've had, Gardner Minshew, where they throw the ball all over the field. That is not this team. They want to run the ball, and they want to play defense, and right now they're a top 30 defense in the country despite their offense not being very good. They average about 300 yards per game offensively, which is not good, which is, I think, 111th in the nation, but they're top 30 in the country in defense, giving up only about 300 yards per game. So they stop the run, they're physical, and I think this is going to be a good challenge for the Dukes. This is a team that isn't afraid to go. Again, this is their second trip to the Commonwealth. They flew across the country and played UVA. They played that in Louisiana earlier this year. So they've gone all over the place to try and fill their schedule in this transition of the Pac-12 and whatever it is right now. And again, they'll have a league next year. But it's been a challenge for them. But this is a physical, tough-minded football team that I think will give the Duke some problems this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been paying attention to the Pac-2 this year, it's very interesting. And we're going to go in circles, but this is what's going to piss me off again, which is, all right, that's a Pac-12 team in Washington State, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game that James Madison, if they win, should get a lot of credit for. But the committee's going to say, this team lost to Virginia, lost to Ole Miss. We don't care that it was close. They lost to North Texas. Again, I don't think they're going to really credit JMU for what it should be worth to win this game.
100%. I completely agree with you because, like I said earlier, I feel like this should be counted as a Power 4 win if they can win this game. So that should give them more credit in the eyes of the committee if they actually watch these games, because this is a team that has always been at the Power 4, Power 5 level. So just because they're in flux right now and not in a conference – Notre Dame's not in a conference. Are they a Power Four school? Yes. I mean, they're not going to get the credit they deserve if they can win this football game, and that's too bad. Now maybe they'll prove us wrong. Maybe all of a sudden, if the Deuce can go play great this weekend, get a big win, maybe all of a sudden the committee rethinks things. I don't think that'll happen, but they should get way more credit, even for playing this game. But if they can win this game, I think they should get a ton of credit for this.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Tulane falls to Temple or something like that. Let me ask you this, though. All right, so we're all pissed off about the rankings and the way things will play out this year. It just seems unlikely that they'll be put in because of the way the committee has put things out there today. How set up are JMU for next season with the roster they have?
They're set up pretty good. They've got some of the transfers that came in still have time left. Obviously, Landon Ellis is one of those that came from Richmond, and he's got another year left. Alonzo Barnett is only a junior. A lot of the offensive linemen are still back. They've got Joe Simmons and Carter Sweezier back. They'll lose Riley Robel comes back, so three of the five offensive linemen are back. They've got some young receivers that still are very capable and haven't got as much time as they wanted to, but still a stable of backs right now. I mean, Wayne Knight, he can come back next year. George Pettaway can come back next year. And again, can they? There is a difference of can they come back and will they come back? But this staff has shown if it does stay together, and that's always a question mark too because of the success they're having, can they retain these guys, re-recruit these guys, and retain as many as possible, which they did a good job of doing that last year. Yes, they lost a few, but they retained the Jacob Thomases, the Trent Hendricks, the Emmanuel Bushes. Even Alonzo Barnett, even though it was going to be harder for him to go anywhere because of his knee, but they have a great nucleus in place, and with this coaching staff, they have shown that they can recruit the right type of people to make it work and make this a true team. So I have every confidence in the world that they're set up for the long haul, that this staff can stay together.
You know, if the committee had some stones, they would put Chesney against Cignetti. Round one.
I was talking about that with somebody the other day that, you know, and this was before the rankings came out, but I think it was on Sunday with somebody. I was just like, if Indiana would lose to Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, would they drop to 5? Potentially. They may still be in the top 4, but they could drop to 5 depending on what happens in the SEC. And then if JMU would be able to get that 12th spot, all of a sudden you see that matchup in Bloomington. That would be absolutely insane, incredible, whatever you want to call it. It would be awesome to see that happen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And just to follow up, though, I do believe SEC title game, Big Ten title game, the losers should not be punished. Do you agree?
I think you're right. I agree. I mean, I think the top four are almost kind of set right now, as long as there's not a blunder in the regular season. So I think those top four are set. They've shown they've been the best team, the most consistent teams all year long. So I think you're probably right.
Dave, thanks a lot for the time, man. Great stuff.
Absolutely. Anytime, Adam.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, I've entered into a trend here, Jeremy, that I know is going to come back to haunt me over the holidays. I've gone to Dunkin' Donuts now the last 4 Thursdays in a row.
Oh, no.
To get myself a breakfast sandwich and a cup of coffee. Got you a breakfast sandwich last week. Got Stubb one the week before. And it's just like, once I start this pattern, it's hard to get off of it. Like, this morning, my stomach was starving. I ate a full dinner last night. I don't know why I was so hungry. It was like my belly knew, hey, it's Thursday, AWOD. You got to go to Dunkin'.
Got to go to Dunkin'.
Got to get your breakfast sandwich and your cup of coffee. It's time for Dude Food here on AWOD Radio.
Dude Food.
We're not responsible for the content of this program or anything we say when we're really hungry.
Where's my food?
Dude, where's my
food?
The most delicious food you've ever tasted.
Yes!
I can eat this off a flip-flop.
He loves food.
Dude Food.
So Jay Money on the board has taken over the duties done by Stubb. And, you know, Stubb was our fast food foodie. He ate a ton of Taco Bell, Wendy's, McDonald's. Jeremy, are you health conscious?
I can't really make that claim. I wish I was. I wish I was, and I'm not going to lie, I'm trying, but the dinner's the only thing that's even a little bit health conscious.
Okay. Would you consider yourself a fast food foodie?
Recently, yeah. I mean, you gotta go here, and then I got drive to my other job after this, and that's my lunch break too. So the fast food's really the only thing.
Have you been eating in the car from one job to the other?
Oh yeah, it's
What does your passenger side door look like? Is it filled with Taco Bell and McDonald's?
No, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. I clean it out every time. I can't have empty bags in my car. I would see people with that, and I was like, that can't be me. I need to have room for people to sit there. That's what it's for.
See, mine, I don't like bags of food. But I've got cups of coffee on the floor. A lot of empty Starbucks and Dunkin' cups in my car. But I usually clean it once a month. Here's a story we want to bring up here on Dude Food. Taco Bell and Venmo collab with a new Venmo Taco Belt. Taco Bell and Venmo. That's a weird collaboration just to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They have entered into a collaboration to introduce a new blue belt with a taco holder attached to the Venmo Taco Belt. The spelling is a play on words. The Taco Bell Venmo Taco Belt is a handcrafted item, and it is previously made with custom leather. So they're basically making a wallet. I'm so out on this.
Is this like a taco holster? What is this?
It kind of seems like that. But like the I might have to just Google image it to see what the hell this is. They're using Glenn Powell and Shaboozy to promote it, which is kind of funny to me. Like, that's a weird combo right there. But yeah. So it is this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It is like a fanny pack on your belt that will hold your taco. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What is going on? This is actually stupider than the Starbucks glass bear that people were fighting about last week.
I think this is hilarious. I love this.
You love this?
You
could wear this. This actually might be perfect for you, going from job to job. Just have a taco on your belt.
I don't think I could ever wear this, but this is hilarious, and I love it so much. For those who are not seeing it, you should look it up. It's literally just a belt with, like, a taco attachment. It's like a whole pocket.
I like how in the photo they're pouring the hot sauce on it, like it's not going to just fall off as soon as you move. That hot sauce is going to get into your crotch immediately. I promise you that. So that's what Taco Bell is up to in the news. Does Jeremy know about King's Hawaiian Rolls?
I am aware of King's Hawaiian Rolls, yes.
They're terrific. You got to go home and make yourself a grilled cheese with one of those suckers. They're not health conscious. They're a ton of calories. But they have a new King's Hawaiian they're coming up with that is going to be Bing Crosby inspired, a gingerbread house kit for the holidays. Anything King's Hawaiian Rolls does, I am all in on. It's just the most, it's like the softest tasting roll ever. It's up, I might say it's a better than a brioche roll. And that's like usually my go-to. Anything dude food that you wanted to bring up today, Jeremy?
Yeah, I did a Friendsgiving last weekend.
Nice.
And it's a little early for Friendsgiving, but everyone had already claimed the normal Thanksgiving items. You know, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the mac and cheese, whatever. All that had been taken.
Okay.
So I was talking to my friend that I was going to go with, and they were like, you should bring rolls to Thanksgiving. I had never heard of this being a Thanksgiving staple in my life. They were very specific. They said you needed to bring frozen bread rolls to the Thanksgiving, and it would make or break the dinner.
These dairy yeast rolls are amazing. They're at every Thanksgiving I've ever been to. Your friends are right. The rolls are awesome.
I guess I'm the one missing out there, because I was unaware that this was a thing.
Yeah, I've had King's Hawaiian rolls before, but yeah, dinner rolls are very popular at Thanksgiving. And here's, I think, why. Is because you buy them for Thanksgiving. You don't really eat them on Thanksgiving. It's for the leftovers. You open up that dinner roll, that sucker, you put some the jam on it, right, the cranberry sauce, then you put your stuffing, and you make yourself a nice little turkey sandwich with the dinner roll. So you brought dinner rolls to Friendsgiving, or it hasn't happened yet?
It's done. I brought it. It happened last weekend. Mission success.
Nice.
Apparently, it wasn't quite the right one. They sent me a picture of white bread and said, this but frozen. So I wasn't quite sure what to get, but I found something in the grocery store. It was good enough. It passed the test. Dinner was a success.
I love to hear that. I was living in Scott's Addition for a long time, and when I was there, I was the son of Scots, A1 and Scots. You could always see me going out and about and partying. And I said, this place is missing something. It's missing a damn pizza joint. It's missing a pizza by the slice. It feels like it has everything in Scott City. You got 5 or 6 bars. You got 7 or 8 restaurants. You got a lot of maybe double-digit breweries. They're all over Scott's. But, like, late-night food, it was lacking. You had tacos and Zuboka, Don't Look Back. They had you covered for tacos, but not pizza. And if you know this show, the pizza's always banging after midnight. I need my pizza slice before I go home. And Scott's Edition now has that. Pizzeria Mungo has opened in Scott's Edition, and it is a New York-style pizza joint, and it just had its grand opening, and it is in the place of the former Big Wife's Mac and Cheese. So I wanted to make sure I bring that up today on Dude Food. So you are from Northern Virginia?
Yeah.
Went to JMU, and now you're here in Richmond. One of the themes of Richmond around the holidays is themed pop-up bars.
Okay.
Here's the one you have to go to. You might need to get a hookup to get in because the line is super long. The Jasper in Carytown, they call it the Miracle on Cary.
Okay.
The Jasper is already a very nice bar. Have you been there?
I haven't been there. I've heard of it, though.
Yeah. They do the coolest thing during the holidays out there. So the takeover is from November 19th yesterday to December 30th. They're fully booked within minutes. Apparently, I have a hookup. All right, and so I'm going to go out and go to I haven't actually been since college. I got a hookup when I was in college, my senior year. But Miracle on Cary, if you haven't been, it's like the coolest thing ever. But there's all these different like pop-up theme bars in Richmond during the holidays. The Evergreen at Birdie's is open right now. That runs through January 6th, and they're doing holiday specials. The Jefferson downtown, the hotel, will be dripping with holiday stuff starting December 1st. And so I've got a list here by Axios, but the one at the top of the list absolutely is Miracle on Cary. Bar West, which is the sister restaurant of our favorite place in Scott's, River City Roll, instead of doing the North Pole or the South Pole, what do you think Bar West is doing?
I've got a guess. Is it West Pole?
The West Pole. Yes, near the West End. They've got reservations opening up as early as November 25th for their holiday-themed pop-up. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If there was any local new food news, give us a call. You're on Dude Food, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.